Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
I hope and believe your Christmas was fantastic, and it's the day after Christmas, and you are here to abide in His presence. So, well done, and we appreciate you being here, and those that are visiting family, we're glad you're here as well with them, and all of those that are joining online, we're grateful for you. So, this is the last Sunday. This is our last opportunity on Sunday to worship together, to exalt God, to praise Him, and so we're going to do it. Amen. We're going to close out with some abiding in the elements of communion today as, again, we prepare for the greatest year of our lives yet in 2022. Anybody with me? Anybody ready? So it's very important how you leave one place is because it's how you will enter the next. So we have less than a week to fully get ready and decide how we're going to leave 2021. So that will determine how you will enter 2022. So let me encourage you and challenge you to prepare. Prepare for the new year. We don't wait for this week as a church. We seek the Lord in the summertime and to seek Him for the word that He has for us. And that word was greater harvest. Harvest was the word for 2022. And we shared that in November and made preparations. But I also want to challenge you, not just to join us for the week of prayer and fasting where over 500 churches will be joining us from our global family, every nation, in 82 nations of the world, joining together, and we fast together. And why? Because fasting is a practice that Jesus had expected His followers, His disciples, to do. Not to earn righteousness, not to earn our relationship with God, but to release the rewards of God. Jesus said this about prayer. He said, when you pray, pray like this, and God will see what is done, and He will reward you for it. Now, do we at all think that as Christians we shouldn't pray? Of course not. We all think we should pray. In fact, we all think we probably should pray a little bit more, right? And Bethel here, we're a house of prayer for the nations. We built a room for prayer alone to happen. And one day, prayer will be being prayed in that room 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by at least three people. That may even happen in 2022. The fire has been lit and prayer has been going on there since Pentecost of last year. And so, but as Christians, we wouldn't not think we should pray. But right after Jesus instructs us that we should pray, He says, And when you fast, fast like this, and God will see your fasting and He will reward you. Now, both prayer and fasting is not motivated out of a heart that we want people to see us praying or see us fasting. That's not our heart motivation. That was the motivation of the religious, the self-righteous, the Pharisees. It was to stand on the corner and let everybody, you know, see how holy you were. Yet, that shouldn't be our motivation. Because if that's our motivation, then that's what you'll get. But if your motivation for prayer and for fasting is to be rewarded from God, well, then that's what you'll get if it's that is your heart's motivation. So back to fasting. So as we wouldn't not think as Christians we should be praying, then why do we think we should not be fasting? If Jesus said we should be fasting. So here at Bethel, we don't protect you from the tough scriptures. We remind you because those scriptures have promises attached to them. And so there's power and there's reward. And our fasting as New Testament believers is not one of sackcloth and ashes, but one of delight. We delight ourselves in the Lord. And we deny our flesh, our body, to produce a greater spiritual hunger for God's word. Amen? And so this year, our theme is abide. And today we begin a new sermon series called Abide. And that's what we're going to talk about today and the coming weeks. How to abide. What does abiding mean? So turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 15. And I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation today. John chapter 15, I am a true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. Wow, there it is, Don, greater harvest. You know what's interesting about this? Let me just point this out. He prunes those who are fruitful. That's the reward of being fruitful. 20 years ago, my wife and I moved from Nashville, Tennessee here to Chandler, and we bought a house that we now live in today. We moved into this house 20 years ago. We lived in it 2.5 years, and then we moved to North Scottsdale to help with a church plant, and then about 6 years ago, we moved back into this home. But when we moved in, we had the responsibility of the landscaping, and we planted some trees, some fruit trees. Very excited because I'd never lived in a climate that would handle fruit trees. And so we planted fruit trees, but those 2.5 years, those trees did not produce any fruit. And I moved away, and we then moved back. And 6 years ago, we moved in, and these trees were huge and out of control, and they were producing amazing fruit, but the fruit was breaking the branches. It was bending the branches and breaking them. And so after that first year that we were there, we pruned those trees. My landscaper, after he did it, almost got fired because, like, I thought he killed him, right? I mean, he pruned it back and it just looked dead. And yet, they grew back. And they grew back stronger and more fruitful. So, guess what, church? One of the rewards that God has for the fruitful is called pruning. Pruning is not a punishment, but a blessing so that you'll produce even more fruit. He takes the branches that aren't bearing, and you can translate it as the Passion does here, and he props it up. I think many times we read this as, and I'm going to read on in a moment. I know I'm kind of breaking it down already without asking for the Holy Spirit to help me. But I have already asked the Holy Spirit several times to help me, just not in front of you this morning. But I will. I will get to that. And we can be so... I've been there many years ago when I was super self-righteous and thought, like, God, you're really lucky you got a guy like me serving you, right? And I thought, yeah, just cut all the branches that don't bear fruit and burn them up, you know? And you even heard a lot of ministers say there's been a real pruning to the church. Yet, when we see the heart here, he prunes the fruitful, not the unfruitful. Right. He props up the unfruitful in hoping that they will produce fruit. But he prunes the fruitful. Consider that. And why does he prune you? For greater harvest. For greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. It actually can be interpreted, cleansed there, as pruned. My words have already pruned you. So you must remain in life union with me, for I am in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit. Oh, so a branch severed from the vine will not produce fruit. For the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I am the sprouting vine, and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. If a person is separated from me, he is disregarded. Such branches are gathered up, thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. This word here, in my words, it's Greek rhema. It's rhema. It's life-giving words. It's a revelation that comes from the Logos, from the written word. It's not just words that you accumulate information, but it's words that have revelation, have relational revelation to them that are powerful. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I have experienced will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word, your Son, Jesus, and that you sowed the seed of your Son. Your Son, Jesus, you allowed yourself to be buried into the ground and to die to produce a harvest of sons and daughters. And Lord, I am one of those. that has been born again from an incorruptible seed. Holy Spirit, help me get out of the way and allow the Rhema word to penetrate hearts and minds today. Oh, Holy Spirit, put a thirst, put a hunger in us for the word, to abide in the word, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. So one of my hopes today is to make you hungry. I thought of bringing all kinds of food on stage, talking a lot about food and pumping in the smells of food. But I realized all I had to say is we're going to be fasting, in a couple of weeks. And I knew just saying the word fast would make you all hungry, because I know it does me. It doesn't matter that I just ate a fantastic meal, okay, and filled myself full. The moment I hear fast, I'm like, give me some more food to prepare. This hunger, this thirst is a gift from God. God moves on us. And it's amazing when we turn to Him to satisfy that hunger and that thirst, of how it produces more. And that's a good thing, because He said, Jesus, that I will satisfy you. Come to me, He said, and I will give you drink. I will give you food. I will provide for that hunger that you have, for that thirst that you have. And so one of the things that fasting does is it puts our flesh behind us. Because your flesh wants to lead your life. But ultimately, if you let your flesh lead your life, it ultimately leads in eternal destruction. That's where our flesh was taking all of us. We were all lost and on a road to eternal separation from God. Our flesh was leading us there. But the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God intervened. And I really don't know how to fully explain it, but for you who have experienced what I've experienced, you know what I'm talking about. Something happened that God wooed me. He won me. He opened my eyes. He put a hunger for something new and different. And I surrendered to that. And then it produced a hunger to go in a different direction. Why? Because He gave me a new heart. He put His Holy Spirit in me. And His Spirit, my new spirit, now desires the things of heaven. But my flesh still wants this. And that's the battle. And one of the things that fasting does, it says, flesh, you are not in control. And flesh, you just were not a good leader. And so when you fast, you are making a decision to say, Spirit, take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel fully. Right? And there's a supernatural thing that happens. Not only do you start getting hungrier for the Spirit and the things of God. Yes, you will get hungry in the natural, but you will deny that. And yes, it will have some pain involved, but it's a good pain. Because it's going to be overcome. And you are going to strengthen your soul. You're going to strengthen your spirit man to be able to say no to the flesh easier. See, if you're struggling to say no to sin, if you're struggling to say yes to the right things, let's focus on that, right? Even less on saying no, let's focus more on saying yes. Because, you know, God is more focused on yes than he is no. From the beginning, God had one thing he said no to in his creation. In all of his creation, he said no to one thing. What was that one thing? It was the tree. And because we said yes to it, God then had to say, well, let me tell you all these other things now that you've allowed sin to enter into the world. Let me tell you some other things that I want you not to do. Why? Because he's a cosmic killjoy? No, because he loves you. As you're in the Word, as you abide in the Word commands us to what's good and lovely and pure. Those promises. Every time God has a command in the Scriptures for us, it is for our good, for your good, Josh. It's for your good that he commands. Our God is love. Guess what that means? He's not selfish. So the devil wants you to think, obey God, because he is just this self-absorbed old dude in heaven that needs your obedience to be God. No, he doesn't. He wants your obedience because he wants to be in relationship with you. Fantastic. And it's God's love language. But every time you obey him, it's for your good. Not always in the short term, but always in the long term. Always. There's a harvest to everything you sow. Good and bad, but let's focus on the good. Let's discover all the things we can say yes to, not all the things that we're struggling to say no to. How about that? How about, church, if we change from all the things I can't do to all the things I get to do? And we fix our eyes on that. We abide in that. That's how we see the Scriptures. That they're life and substance. They're for me. He's for me. This is God's love story to me. And to you, and to you, and to you, and to you online. He wooed me. But my flesh, our flesh is so easily wooed back. But if we could see with our spiritual eyes what we're being wooed back to, we would see, like Proverbs, it's like a dog returning to its vomit. Like if you could see with your spiritual eyes every time you get tempted back into that life, it's like a dog returning to its vomit. Come on, let that sink in for a moment. Your sin, your disobedience is like a dog returning to its vomit. Come on, let me let it just sink in a little longer. You choosing to disobey God, to say yes to sin, to say yes to your flesh, to your selfishness, is like a dog returning to its vomit. ooh, disgusting. Yes, sin is disgusting. And yet, we find pleasure in it. But that is what it is, and it's destructive. It destroys. Yet, this isn't what God wants for you. The devil has vomit for you. God has life and life more abundantly. So, my hope this year is that you would accept a challenge. And that challenge is to abide in Jesus by getting into the Word every single day. Not so God will love you. Not so you can think you're an awesome Christian. Because let me help you understand something. You're an awesome Christian because of Jesus. And the moment you think your efforts produce the awesomeness in your life, you cease being awesome. So if you want to be one who's full of awesome in 2022, make a decision that your awesomeness comes from Jesus and His righteousness, and His righteousness alone. Amen? And then, when you get that revelation, that understanding, you walk in awesomeness. You might even get a little awesome stride to your step, right? Like, you might. At least in the spirit, you will. That's my challenge. My challenge is that 2022, at the end of it, you can look back and go, by the grace of God, I read my Bible every single day. Now, would that be something to celebrate at the end of 2022? Not a, oh, you, me, I. No, no, did you not hear? By the grace of God. By the grace of God, I did it. But what I have found is doing the right things, doing anything, is always easier when other people are doing it with you. And other people are talking about it and reminding you. Church, so this is my challenge for us. Would you take hold of it? For me, one of the ways I'm practically going to do this is I am going to have a Bible on my shelf in my office that every morning after I say good morning, Father, good morning, Jesus, good morning, Holy Spirit, I'm going to get out of my bed, and even before cruise, I scrape my tongue. The first thing I'm going to do every single morning after I acknowledge God is I'm getting out of my bed. I thought, Pastor Kevin, of just having my Bible there and not even getting out of bed. But then it reminded me of when I was in college, and Actually, I have a college friend, Lori Burt. It was Lori Schrant when we were in college at Michigan State. Let me tell you just a quick story. Lori was an upperclassman, and she actually heard my first sermon. It was entitled "Good Morning, Holy Spirit." It was my freshman year, and thank God they did not record it. I'm sure I had all kinds of heresy that I preached about the Holy Spirit. But I did have one good point, in that he was God and that he was my friend. And I know I had that. That was good. The rest may be subject to, you know. But I hitched a ride with Lori and some friends to Florida. And on that trip, we prayed for her brothers. She has twin brothers, younger brothers. And they were freshmen at Michigan State, and I was a freshman. And we prayed for them. They were engineer majors, and so they were very heady. And it was like, man, it's going to take a big miracle for these guys to get saved. Yet, that year, they got saved. They got born again. And they are radical, on fire for Jesus, even today. Amen. But thinking back to college, and why I'm getting out of bed to get into the Word is because I named my bed in college the Word. So when people asked me, "What did you do all morning?" I could tell them I was deep in the Word, okay? And had dreams and visions in the Word. Spent hours in it today. So I thought, you know, I might, you know, get the Word out and just, you know, go right back to sleep. So that's why I'm going to do it. I'm going to get out. And again, I'm not telling you this so you go, "Oh, wow, Pastor." I mean, come on. You're like, that's your job. You're a pastor. You should be reading the Bible, okay? I mean, that shouldn't take like you, you know, thinking of me, "Wow, Pastor, you're amazing. You can actually read your Bible," right? Oh, I read my Bible, okay? But I'm letting you in on some things that God's telling me, because I don't want to just read my Bible. I want to really abide in my Bible. And so the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get in the Word. And then my plan is around noon to make sure I get into and abide in the Word again. And then I'm going to end every day abiding again in the Word. Look, it doesn't mean you have to read 10 chapters. It doesn't even mean you have to read a whole chapter. To abide in the Word, all you need is a verse. Amen. Because it's not about information, it's about a person. John chapter 1 says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Guess who that is? Jesus. Jesus is the Word. You want to fall more in love with Jesus? You have to fall more in love with the Word. Hallelujah. And I'm all about studying the Word and diving into commentaries, but that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about getting into the Word as a relationship with Jesus, and not information, but something that will lead you to talk to Him. Church, we are going to abide like we've never abided. All right, so here's another challenge. Because we seek the Lord for even words for ourselves as individuals for the year. As a church, the word for us is harvest. Interesting that every nation decided abide would be our theme for our fasting, because what is the result of abiding? Harvest. I just love how God does that. You know, I don't need to have it all figured out. In fact, not having it all figured out leads to excitement leads to life, leads to God being God and not me. And He's way better God than I'd ever be. Trust me, I wouldn't put up with all the stuff you guys do if I was God. I wouldn't even put up with myself, okay? But thanks be to God, we're not. And He is. And He's full of mercy that's new every morning. Hallelujah. Amen? Mercies that are new every morning. Abiding in Him, abiding in the Word. As we do, it's going to create greater hunger, a greater thirsting. It's going to be alive. It's going to be exciting. And as you read it, and as you listen to it, and as you listen to the Holy Spirit give a rhema word to you from the Logos Word, and then you start talking about it. You start talking about what God's speaking to you. And what will that do? You're going to hear it more, and others are going to hear it. And it's going to cause an abiding faith. An abiding faith. An abiding presence. So that no matter what problem you face, no matter what problem I face, I have the power of God to speak to mountains, and they've got to move. I have the power of God to speak to things that aren't as though they were. So things that don't even look like they exist, the abiding word in me will produce the abiding faith. The abiding faith will produce the abiding power that I can speak to those things that aren't as though they were, and they will be. Is that not what Jesus said? As you abide in me, you can come to the Father and ask me for anything, and I will do it. I will do it. We're that church. We're just that church that's audacious enough, that to the world is foolish enough to believe the Bible is true. And every man's a liar. Now, you can go get your PhD in theology and try to talk out what that verse actually is saying. And all the other miracle Bible verses, and give other explanations. And you can encounter life and go, I don't understand this. And it hurts because it's not what I was expecting. And it does hurt. But when you abide in Him, you don't lean to your own understanding. And you don't stop asking Him for what's in heaven to come to earth. Just because the last time you asked, you didn't see it happen, or it didn't happen the way you thought. Do not let the doctrine of demons come in and confuse you into a dead religion that has no power. And how does that happen? It only happens when you stop abiding in the living Word. When you take the Word as just logos, and you stop having the Spirit of God flowing over the Word and making it come alive in a very personal way. Listen, the study of scriptures and theology, all of that stuff's good and important. But in any way, if it pulls you away from a relationship with Jesus, an actual relationship, Because the most educated Bible scholars of Jesus' day missed Jesus. And I see it over and over and over again, church. My heart grieves. And how many theologians are clueless of who Jesus is. And why do I say that? Not in a judgmental way. Because they don't love like Jesus loves. They don't care like Jesus cares. See, if abiding in Jesus does not produce humility, you did not abide with Jesus. See, the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know that much. So this year, as you abide in the Word, if it causes you to be puffed up, you forgot to put yourself on the shelf when you got the Word off of it. Church, you ready to abide?
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Word. We thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for modeling how we could trust the Father and that the Father is good. He's a good, good Father who can be trusted. And we trust you, Jesus. And we trust the Father. For he is good. Holy Spirit, move. Move like only you can move. Let the love of Jesus flow. Let it energize us like never before. Holy Spirit, create a hunger in us. A thirst in us for more of Jesus. We are not ashamed. Come on, say it with me. Say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it has the power to save. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you don't know Jesus today, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, today would be a fantastic day to do it. As we get ready for 2022 and what could be the greatest year of your life yet. It's not complicated. It's just saying, Jesus, I surrender to you. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I believe in you. I want you in my life. If that's you, just pray that to him. He's here to hear you, to answer that prayer. Say, Jesus, forgive me. I receive your love. I acknowledge you are the King. You are the Lord. You are my Savior. As we just abide, as we just dwell right now in the presence, his holy presence, and holy is just, it's good, his good presence, his wonderful presence. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Do you want a word for your life for 2022? My word is healthy. It's the word the Lord has given me is healthy. Last year was momentum. This year's word that God has given me is healthy. We're going to be the healthiest church we've ever been. I'm going to be the healthiest Christian. I'm going to have the healthiest marriage. I'm going to have the healthiest kids. I'm going to have the healthiest body. I'm going to have health. That's the word the Lord's given me. And don't think for a second the enemy's not going to try to steal that word. But do you want a word? Do you want the Lord to give you a word? Do you care about His plans for 2022? Then seek Him. Those who seek Him will find Him. Make a decision right now. What is the Holy Spirit spurring you, challenging you, encouraging you to do today? Are you going to fast? Are you going to fast with us? Maybe it's one meal a day for the week. Do you feel a passion to say, yes, I want to read my Bible every single day in 2022? Then start today. Because the way you leave one year is the way you'll enter the next. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you'd say, I want to abide in Jesus and in His Word. Would you lift up your hand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, here you go, Jesus. It's our heart's desire is to abide in You. So abide in us. Produce a hunger and a thirst in us that won't let one day go by without abiding in You. I pray this, that it would happen because of Your incredible mercy and grace and the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of God that will compel us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.